Well, good afternoon. It's good to be with you once again. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to start in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 in just a moment. I'm delighted to be back with you once again, delighted you invite me back, and glad we come and spend a little bit of time together. This is the first Sunday of a new year, and that's always exciting, full of hope and optimism and all kinds of things like that. And it's a good start if you're not used to coming. This is just a good way to start the year. Just understand by coming, good things happen. And we appreciate each of you being with us this evening as we look at some things. I want to share just a simple lesson for you this evening that I think will kind of fit in with the start of a year and some things that some of you are about ready to tackle another semester and all the things that come with that. And we hope these will be kind of helpful for you. I got my son Joe with me this time. Once you get to meet him, it's good to have Luke with us. Luke is from where I'm at, and he's here in school. I want you to be sure and get to meet him if you haven't met him, and just think the world of him. There's an old song in your hymn book. It's 852, and the song is "When the Roll Was Called Up Yonder," and that song was sung lots and lots of times in years ago when we had gospel meetings, and it's just kind of a inspiring thought. When the roll was called up yonder, I will be there. And it's the idea as if God had this giant roll book, and he's taking attendance, and I'm going to be there. And that's the thought behind that song, that I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to do what that says. But what's interesting about that song is how it begins. And that's what I want to talk about. It begins by saying, "When the trump of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more." Now, we have trouble with that phrase, because we don't understand that. We have no concept of time when there is no time, because everywhere we look, there's time. We have clocks everywhere. We have calendars. We have day planners. They're on our watch, on our wrist, or on our cell phones, or our iPads. Even in church buildings, we have clocks. And all around us, it's reminded of time. And everything we do is about time. The football game starts at a certain time. There's a time the kids have to be picked up from school. There's a dentist appointment at a specific time. There's a time your classes start. There's a time your classes end. There's a time that the trash truck usually comes by. There's a time when the mailman comes by. There's a time to be at work. There's a time to be at the church house. And even when you die, there's a time that the funeral starts. You ever notice that? And so all around us is time. And what this song is about eternity. And there's a time when there'll be no time. But that's just an interesting thought. And so this evening, I want to spend a little bit of time with you talking about this very subject of time and to look at some things that the Bible says about this and to understand that we hear people talk about, where did the time go? Or time flies by, or I'm running out of time, or I wish that there was more time. And people talk about wasting time. But one of the hard things to understand is what the Bible really says about time. In the book of Ephesians, we're going to read in chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul uses this statement, making the most of your time. And that's what we want to talk about this evening, how we can make the most of our time from a spiritual standpoint and what the Apostle Paul there was addressing. Now, time is an interesting commodity. It is the only thing that I can think of that we all have exactly the same. Now, even in this crowd this evening, there's hardly any of us have exactly the same amount. We say we have how much money do you have? We'd have different amounts. How much education you have? We have different amounts. How much talent you have? We have different amounts. And everything is different except time. And that's what's so unique about that. Every day is the same. 24 hours, 1440 minutes, or 86,400 seconds. That's the same for the newborn baby as it is for the president of the United States. It's the same for the busy executive who's trying to catch a plane as it is for the lazy bum sleeping on a park bench. It's the same for the star quarterback as it is the fan up in the stands. It's the same for the criminal and the cop. It's the same for the soldier and the enemy. The prisoner who's sitting in a jail cell who seems to think time has just stopped, it's the same amount for him as a college student hurrying to get to class before his class starts. When you sit in the movie theater, sometimes it just seems like time flies. You sit in a boring college class, it seems like time has stopped. But it's the same. I like the story of a guy who was preaching one time, and right in the middle of a sermon, a guy got up and started walking out and just irritated the preacher. And so he stopped and asked the guy, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to get a haircut." And he said, "Well, you ninny, why don't you get one before you came in?" He said, "I didn't need one when I came in." So, you know, That's kind of interesting. Now, we add to this. You can go from time zone to time zone. These facts don't change. We can talk about going overseas. Today in the Philippines, today in Africa, today in Europe, it's the same amount for everybody. And so that's an interesting concept. And we have so many words that surround the word time. There's solar time and atomic time and daytime and nighttime and local time, halftime, good time, old times, time out, overtime. But I believe the worst of all would be to simply waste time. In the Bible, the word time is found 765 different times. We look at some passages that talk about that. Felix wanted a more convenient time, it says in the book of Acts. Jesus came in the fullness of time, Paul said in the book of Galatians. Paul said, now is the acceptable time of salvation to the Corinthians. The Hebrews were taught, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Solomon said, there's a time for everything. Now, we may question that, but that's what Solomon says about that. And then in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, Jesus says, be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. You do not know what time it is. This is why he's trying to emphasize there. So if you got your Bible, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read this section here, begin with verse 15 of Ephesians 5. And then we're going to kind of take off one expression Paul talks about there and talk about the idea of making the most of our time. He says, beginning in verse 15, he says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And what's kind of interesting about that section I just read, it's almost in those six admonitions, Paul saying, this is how you live. These are important things. And if we were to cut these out and put them on our refrigerator or on a mirror and look at them every day, it would remind us. He tells us, first of all, to be careful how you walk. You'll notice, if you will, if you got the book of Ephesians open, go back to chapter 4, and we'll notice Paul says this several times. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 1, he says there, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. In other words, be careful how you walk. He said in chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. He would say again in verse 8 of the same chapter, chapter 5, he says, you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So here in verse 15, be careful how you walk. Now, you know what that means. You're walking outside and it's an icy patch, you're going to be careful. And you're going to look down. And so Paul is reminding the brethren to be careful about such things. He also tells them, and this is what we're going to talk about this evening, making the most of your time. He says, understand the will of the Lord. Now, and that's a great passage there, that we can know what God wants us to say. And there's people today who believe that you can't understand the Bible. I had a discussion a while back with somebody and says, you know, the Bible is so hard, we can't understand it. And the person said, it's confusing. And I asked the person, do you think God wrote the Bible? Yes. Well, you can go to Barnes & Noble and look at all those thousands of books. You can buy any of those books in Barnes & Noble, take them home and figure out what the guy's saying. Yes, I can. But you can't figure out the Bible. No. I said, that means God's a bad writer, isn't he? No, God's a great writer. We can understand the will of the Lord. That's exactly what Paul's saying there. He also says, be filled with the Spirit. The idea, be a spiritual person. Be somebody who's thinking spiritual thoughts as you should be. And then he says, make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And the sixth admonition is to be thankful. That's our tone of life. That's how we walk through life, to be thankful. But our attention this evening is in verse 16, where he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And if you got the King James Version, it uses the phrase redeeming the time. Now, that's a troubling phrase. And here's why. When we use the word redemption to talk about salvation, the word redemption means to buy back. Jesus paid the cost for our salvation. Here, you can't buy time. I mean, if you could pay $100 and get a year back, would you do it? Man, I think I would. Pay $1,000 and you're a teenager again, you know? You know, but you can't buy time back. It's gone. And so that's really not a good understanding. Phillips, in his translation, says this, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life. Make the best use of your time despite the difficulties of the days. That's the concept he's driving at, and that's the idea of making the most of our times. I want to begin by emphasizing, really, there are three major threats to our time. And these are things, again, that we need to understand and take very seriously as we think about our life with God. And the first one is there are so many demands of our time. We're like the old rubber band. We're stretched. Too many shows to watch, too many books to read, too many places to go to, and I'm just stretched. This is what somebody wrote about Psalms 23. It's a little take on Psalms 23. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is always with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the bounds of frustration forever. Now, what this does for us, it leaves us, first of all, tired. We're just a tired society, and stretched, and exhausted, and cranky. And that affects all of our relationships. It affects our relationships with our close family. It affects our relationships with the church and how we view each other. And one of the reasons is we're trying to do too much. And that's going to affect us. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through our lesson. Now, a second major threat of our time is simply taking time for granted. And we do this in two ways. We do this, first of all, by wasting time. I don't normally go to the grocery store, but now that our house is almost empty, there's several times I find myself in the grocery store with my wife, and I usually just push the car and look at the weird things that no one ever buys on the top shelf. And I was doing this one time, and so she was looking at something, so I decided to check my email, and then I decided to play some Angry Birds, and then I was on Facebook, and I looked up, and she was gone. It took me about 5 minutes to find her. And then it came to me, now understand, nothing's wrong with Facebook, nothing wrong with Angry Birds, nothing wrong with checking your email. But you ever notice how some of us just got to do it all the time? I mean, it's like 5 seconds passed and I haven't checked my email. Well, are you looking for something from the president? You know? And what happens is these things can consume our lives. And what is a 5-minute game becomes a 5-hour game, becomes a lifetime game, because we're just doing them over and over and over again. And again, those are some things we need to take serious about. Time slips away, this poet writes. Time slips away. It's never held, it's never caught, it's never kept, it never ceases, it only vanishes. Time slips away. Memories are formed, memories are written, memories to recall, memories to cherish. Time slips away. Wasted opportunity, thoughtless living, searching and longing moment by moment. And again, that's something we have to consider as we think about the idea of wasting time. And again, statistics show how many people all across the country really admit they watch too much TV. Nearly half of Americans say they watch too much TV. 1 in 4 Americans say they fall asleep 3 times a week watching TV. And again, nothing wrong with TV, but it can chew a big part of our life. You know, a while back, I was channel flipping, and I caught some movie, and it was really a dumb movie. It was nothing immoral, nothing bad. It was just a stupid movie. But I watched it, you know? And you know, I was just kind of intrigued by it. And I got done. And I think, you know, I just blew 2 hours watching this retarded movie. And I thought, you know, if I went to the video store and I was going to rent this movie and the guy says, this is going to cost you 2 hours of your life, I say, forget you. But you notice how many times we do that? And pretty soon, a day's gone, a week's gone, a month's gone. And so one of our threats to our time is wasting it. The other threat, and this is something good for you college students to think about, is procrastination. You start off the classes tomorrow and he's going to be telling you about papers. And, well, now I've got 2 months to do this paper, so I'm not going to do anything. And what happens is procrastination will catch up with you, and it will hurt you in several different ways. I like the story of a little boy who was in church one day, and a preacher was talking about these big words like justification and sanctification, big words. He went to school the next day, and a teacher was talking about procrastination, another big word. And the teacher said, what is procrastination? The little boy put his hands up. He says, I'm not sure, but I know my church believes in it. Well, that's kind of true, isn't it? You know? Now, somebody wrote, these are the eight phases of procrastination. Phase one, I'll start early this time. Phase two, I'll get to it right away. Phase three, I should have started sooner. Phase four, there's still time to do it. Phase five, what's wrong with me? Phase six, I can't wait any longer. Phase seven, just get it done. Phase eight, I'll do better next time. Okay? Putting it off and putting it off. And sometimes later really means never. Now that's a threat to our time. And then the third threat is allowing interruptions to dominate and define your day. Things happen in life when we get interrupted. And the phone calls, the doing this, the doing that. And pretty soon, they just define our day. And we're always hindered by such things. And so when we look in the Bible, I believe God gives us two main principles about time that I want you to look at. First principle I believe he wants us to see is that we need to be time conscious. I believe Jesus Christ always was. There was a group to Chicago, and they had a song, Does Anyone Really Know What Time It Is? And that's a great statement. If you got your Bible, turn with me. Let's look at two examples of that very statement. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, you remember the story about the man who Jesus told about tearing down his barns. And Luke 12, he was talking about the idea here of covetousness. And so he tells a story in Luke 12 about this man, this farmer, and he says in verse 17, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? This is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones. Then I'll store up my grain for many goods. And I'll say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. He didn't know what time it was. I ended my sermon this morning back home. It's one of the weirdest things that happened. Thursday night, a gospel preacher in Ohio, sitting in his lazy boy chair, had a massive heart attack and died. Friday night, another preacher in Ohio, 2-month-old son, stopped breathing. He put out this text on Facebook. It's one of the most scary things you ever read. You know, it's all you're not supposed to use capital letters. This is all capital letters. It says, please help. God, help me. I think my son's dead. Then last night, gospel preacher in Phoenix, Arizona. I was just there in November. Gospel preacher in November, or in Phoenix, died suddenly. And so what this passage tells us is sometimes we think, well, you know, I've got good 30, 40 years based on statistics. You can't base your life on statistics. You got to base it on today. And so we need to be time conscious of such things. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, again, we see an example of this. We mentioned this earlier about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And the foolish, at first, were just like the wise. They both had oil. It's not that they didn't have any oil and they're just being idiots. No, they had oil. And had the groom come when they anticipated, they would have been ready. But the problem was he was delayed. And that they were not thinking of that. And so they went to buy the oil, it says, and he came back, and the door was shut. Then they came, verse 10, and while they were going to make purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And it's not opened again. What happened? They didn't know what time it was. And so one thing this tells us is that we need to be aware of what time it is about such things. Now, to this, we need to understand time is limited. There's only so much. It's interesting when you look at this concept in the Bible, there's over 18 metaphors that God uses, such as life is a vapor, or it's a shadow, or it's a breath, or it's a sigh, over and over, just emphasizing the shortness of life and to look at such things. Remember in Acts 24 and verse 25, where Felix talked about Christianity, says that a more convenient time, there's no convenient time. And that reminds us of such things as that. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 90, this is the oldest Psalms in our Bibles, written by Moses. And Moses said, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That tells us two things. First of all, we have to be taught these things. We don't just learn them. We have to be taught them. And what reminds us is that our days can be counted. Years ago, if you go through some old cemeteries, it'll say, here's this guy, and he was so many years, so many months, and so many days old. They counted the days. Our days can be counted. Now, there's certain things you cannot count. Cannot count the stars, there's too many. Cannot count the sand, too much sand. But our days can be counted. And this is what I came up with, excluding a few leap years here and there. If you live to be 80, that's about 29,000 days God gives you. If you're 20 years old now, you've already used up 7,300 of them. If you're 40, you've used up 14,000 of them. If you're 50, you already used up 18,000. And what you start seeing is one day pretty goes pretty fast. And it reminds us of these things. Now, what we learn from that as we think about this is one day is not a lifetime. One day is one day. You have one bad day, that doesn't mean you have one good day, that doesn't mean everything's over because you had one good day. One day is one day, and we need to remind ourselves of that and be very conscious of the time. There's this poem I saw years ago of this person who wrote that when they were in high school, they were just dying to graduate and move out. Then they were dying to get their own apartment. Then they were dying to meet somebody and get married. Then they're dying to have kids. Then they're dying for the kids to go off to school. Then they were dying for the kids to move out. Then the last phrase is, today, coming home from the doctor, I realize I am dying. I've always forgot to live. And we need to keep that before us as we think about these things. Now, also we need to remind ourselves, not only is time limited, but time cannot be retrieved. Some of you may have cell phone packages. If you don't use all your minutes, they're rolled over to the next month. There's no rolling over with time. If you say, you know what, God, there's about 30 minutes I'm not going to use in 2012, so let's just kick those over to 2000. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? And we understand that. And so what you have is what you have. And you look back on lost opportunities or wasted time, and we can see how important these things are to us. So it helps being organized. It's just some practical things. It helps being organized. I taught a high school class years and years ago, and we had two experiments. I had half the class on this side and the other half on this side. We had rocks, and we had pebbles, and we had sand, and we had water. This group started with the water first, and then the sand, and then the pebbles, and they couldn't get the rocks in there. This group started with the big rocks first, and then the pebbles, and then the sand went everywhere else, and then the water went everywhere, and they had plenty of room. What that meant was do the big things first. Be organized. I often teach young preachers. We train young preachers where I'm at. And this is something I'm very, very serious about because we can waste so much time looking for something. I've got it somewhere and I don't know where it's at, and we burn half a day doing that. When I first started preaching, I remember visiting this guy who's a well-known preacher, and I just wanted to see his library. And I remember on his desk there were just stacks of papers everywhere. And I just hadn't picked up a church bulletin. Now, we're talking about the 1970s. I picked up this church bulletin that said 1962. I'll never forget that. And I thought, wow, that was a long time ago. I said, are you doing some research? And he said, no, I just haven't got around to filing. Well, come on, dude. You know, the Lord's coming. Okay, but you and I can do that in different ways. We can just waste time because we're not organized. And churches can be the same way. We spend time on things that do not matter. And again, we talk about just wasting those things. And then we need to live with some real goals, spiritual goals. You know, in Luke chapter 14, when Jesus talked about discipleship, he uses the word first. No man can be my disciple unless he first does this. And again, that's the concept we understand with this. We also understand that time itself is a gift from God. Every day is a blessing. Now, you may not have a good day. You may have some problems. You may not be feeling the best. But every day is a gift from God. Psalms 118 says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what's interesting about that, that's all we have is today. So many people live in the past. And they're bothered by guilt, or they're worried about the future. And so we got guilt on one side and worry on the other side. And what happens is we don't do anything with the gift we have, and that is today. In Acts chapter 6, if you look over there with me, and in verse 4, you remember there was this time when some of the widows were being neglected, and there seemed to be a little complaint about that. And they took it to the apostles, and the apostles told them to appoint other people, seven other men, to look after the widows. And it says in verse 4 that they were to do this so the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. They wanted to devote their time to the thing that's most important. And again, that helps us to grasp those things. And then the second major principle is we need to realize that we need to be good stewards of time. Stewardship is something the Bible teaches. That's what our passage is talking about in Ephesians 5. Making the most of your time is about stewardship. Here Paul would tell the Galatians in Galatians 6, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you remember David? King David? He was taking lunch to his brothers when he met Goliath. But he happened to have a sling with him, didn't he? He didn't say, oh, dude, I can't do it now. How about a week from Tuesday, you and I get to know? Sometimes opportunity is right now. You ever hear the expression, strike while the iron is hot? That came from blacksmiths. And a blacksmith would stick a rod in a fire and get just red as it could be. And he put that on the anvil and he just hit. And that little piece of iron would just start going bend. Back into the fire, back on the anvil, hit. And get bent just to the shape he wanted. Then he put in a bucket of water and steam. And then after it cooled down, you could do everything you want to, but you couldn't move that thing. Strike while it's hot. While we have opportunity. And let me say this to the college folks. You're at a big university with a whole bunch of people all around you. Some of us who've already gone through this look back and think, you know what? I was in a dorm, and I didn't say anything about Jesus to the people in the dorm. I had all these people in my classroom all the time, and I kind of blew my light out. You may look back someday and say, you know what? I had opportunity, and I didn't do anything. And so this is the concept, making the most of our opportunity. And that's something very valuable as we kind of think about this. Peter would also remind us of this. He says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to carry out the desire of the Gentiles. He talks about, of course, of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and idolatries. In other words, time's up. You've already had time to live that life. Now it's time to be a Christian and get about doing the very thing that God wants you to do. And so we need to remind ourselves it's never a waste of time to develop meaningful relationships, especially among Christians. So valuable to do that. Those are things that will be with you the rest of your life, and those are things that will help you the rest of your life. And to see the value of such things as that, to be an encourager, to go out of your way to help somebody. Those are things that are profitable. They take time, but they're so good to do those things. Also, it's never a waste of time to do the right thing or to reflect spiritually. In the book of Psalms, it talks about the psalmist meditating. We don't do that much anymore, just sitting, thinking. You know, why are you doing it? I'm just thinking. Well, if somebody said that, we'd say, well, what's wrong with you? Go do something, man. Well, I'm meditating. There's a place for that. And that takes us somewhere and it helps us to do those things. It's never a waste of time to apologize. Never. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but that's the right thing to do. It's never a waste of time to know God's word. Now again, it takes time to know the Bible. It takes time to develop these things. There's no shortcuts. I remember a young preacher coming up to an older preacher who always quoted the Bible. And he said, I would give anything to know the Bible like you do. And the preacher said, well, I gave 40 years. You see, that's the idea. And so to carve out some time every morning just to read a chapter. Just to pray to God. Those are good things to do. Now, again, Satan will tell you, well, I'm a college student, or I'm busy with my job, or I have the kids, and I don't have time for that right now. Well, when will you have time? When I was at Greenwood years ago, John Sherry may remember, there was a lady who showed up one Sunday morning, just out of the blue. Nobody knew who she was. And she sat behind one of our widow ladies. And after services, the widow lady asked her out to eat. She politely declined and went home. She came back the next week. Third week, she brought her husband. We had some Bible studies, and pretty soon she was baptized. And I remember back when we were getting ready to baptize her, her name was Jean DeMumbrin. And back when we were getting ready to baptize her, she said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Roger. It wasn't your sermons. She goes, I've been a member of the Methodist for 60 years of my life. And no one ever invited me out to eat. I went to your church one time, and a stranger invited me. That impressed me, she said. And then she said, I've wasted 60 years of my life in the wrong church. I said, well, now you got the rest of your life to do what God wants you to do. And so that's what I want you to see. Sometimes we're always thinking, well, I'm going to have time to do that. Well, you may not. And to grasp the things that God wants you to see, there are no shortcuts. There are no cliff notes of the Bible. There's no, you know, there is such a book called The Bible for Dummies, but don't waste your money on that. It's worth a time. Read the real thing. There's no movies. There's nothing that will help you other than spend a little bit of time all the time. It's never a waste of time to worship. I mean, we come in here, we don't feel like it. But the song, a prayer, a passage is read, it affects us. It changes us. It makes us better. And again, those are some things that we need to see how valuable that is. One researcher said this. It says, we spend 6 months of our life at stoplights, 5 months of our life waiting in line, another big chunk of our life just going through things that really don't matter. Now, what do we do that? You're driving along, you come up to a stoplight. I got just time to check my email. Off we go. Okay. And I'm at the doctor's office, and it's going to be another 20 minutes. Okay, I can get on Facebook for a while. You notice how we do things? We use that all the time. How about at stoplights, I pray? How about I take a little Bible verse, write it out, and stick it in my pocket or just put it beside me. I read it, and then between now and the next stoplight, I see if I can memorize that thing, okay? There's a lot of stoplights in Bloomington because I go through here sometimes. Lots of stoplights. So, okay. I'm going to memorize this verse. What am I doing? I'm using the best use of my time. You see what I'm saying? It's so easy, and I'm guilty of this as anyone, of getting in the habit of getting it over out and just, let's just check this and check this and check this. And it's just like, I just checked it 2 seconds ago, but I'm going to check it again. Why? Maybe God says, you know what? I'm giving you all these stoplights so you can say some prayers. Why don't you get it? And that would help us as we think about those things. Now, we began our lesson with this concept here from that song. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. There is a day coming when there'll be no more time. And what's interesting, when that time comes, everyone will know the truth about Jesus. There will be no agnostics. There will be no atheists. As the book of Philippians and the book of Romans says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. They will know the truth. And when time is no more, they will know if they've been a success or a failure with what's most important. And what's most important is your relationship with God and how these things have been. And then they'll find out that God's patience from 2 Peter 3 has simply run out. That's when Jesus is going to come. And so it reminds us how important it is to make the most of our time. There'll be a time once we cross over to the other side, we say, you know what? I got all the time in the world now. Well, I died. I'm over here now. Let's get together and have singing. Well, it's too late for that now. Well, you know, I died and I'm over here now, so I can have a Bible study now. It's too late. Too late. I'd like to sit down and talk to you about the gospel. It's too late. It's too late. See, there'll be a time when we have time, but it'll be too late. Now's the time to do these things. And again, it helps us to kind of remind ourselves of these. Let me read you one final thing, and then the lesson be yours. Let me dig it out here real fast. I stuck it in here somewhere. And again, it reminds us of this concept of what God wants us to do and how important it is to simply walk with God and to be the people of God. There's a song we sing that is Amazing Grace. And last phrase of Amazing Grace, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. 10,000 years. 10,000 years and counting to walk alongside, sit in the presence, and actually come to know the treasured among God's people. The Abrahams, the Lukes, the Daniels, the Timothys, and the Pauls. 10,000 years and more to get to know the family in Christ that we never met before. Those men and women who journeyed before us. Those who during our lifetimes we never met. Godly elders and preachers and devout women and all who gave the heart to the King's service. 10,000 years away from sin and temptation. No failures, no wars, no diseases, no longer any dishonesty or rebellion. No more divorces or apathy, no selfishness, no anger, no loneliness, no words of blasphemy, no plane crisis, no fights in a hospital, no drunk drivers, no political scandals, no death, no more heartache, no pain. The first things will have passed away. 10,000 years to renew the fond and precious friendships we made in Christ Jesus. Those dear saints who touched our hearts and made us better as a result of their kindness in the Lord. Time now to spend with our favorite Christians. 10,000 years and more. 10,000 years to be with my Savior, the one whom I believed and followed, obeyed, and loved during all my earthly days. Now more than ever, I will know how much Christ really loved me. I can finally praise you Almighty endlessly. I will know how much he has blessed me. I will come to understand the grace of God. 10,000 years, and to think after that, we've just begun. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. So as we start on the new year, brand new, right out of the box, use your time right. It will make a big difference. You look back on the past year, you think, I wasted a lot of time. I did a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have done. Not that I was wrong, but just stuck in angry bird land. Need to move on, you know? So I hope this lesson will give you something to think about. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You never know. You just never know. There was a young man years ago where I was preaching. 6 years old, full of life. He always popped my hand when he went out. Good sermon, preacher, and he popped my hand, and off he went. For his 16th birthday, he got a bright yellow sports car. Man, that thing was smoking hot. One Sunday afternoon, right after he popped my hand, see you later, preacher, his mom and dad called me, met him at the hospital. Just as the doctors were pulling a sheet over his head, that bright yellow car got in a wreck, he got killed, and that was it. So we need to remind ourselves, what I have is now. What am I going to do with now? Am I going to make the best of it now? If you've never been baptized, you need to do that. Now's the time. And if you just haven't got connected with the Lord, you need to do that. This is what God wants us to do. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing? Jesus is